Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Gamers Guild, the Star Wars Shatterpoint Edition. Today, we're going to be talking about our excitement at the game is finally upon us. Going to be talking about the core box secondaries and supports, and then just some of our usual listener questions like normal. My name is Kenny, and welcome to the Gamers Guild. All right, tonight with me, I have my usual co-host, one absolute Matt. Matt, how's it going?
It's going great. Just trying to get my Loka LGS's core set painted up for Saturday. Can't wait. I've got about half the minis done, so got to check through the other half and train tonight and tomorrow. So
nice. Yeah, do y'all have like an event or anything, or is it just y'all are doing like demos?
No, I'm just going to run some demos. Plan on using the little short demo, so people control that one squad and the three middle points are active to try to get as many people through it that are interested.
Nice. Sounds like a good time. And then with us, joining us from across the MCP pond, is our good friend Sooner. How's it going, man?
Oh, a new podcast? What's going on?
Woo-woo!
Things are going well, man. Things are going well.
Yeah, glad to have you joining us for talking about these supports and these secondary units. I'm excited. Game comes out. We're recording this Thursday night before the game release. So tomorrow I will be picking up my stuff at noon and spending most of the afternoon putting it together and hopefully getting to play a game that evening with my younger brother who's coming into town. So should be a good time. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the supports and secondaries. So similar to last time with the primary units, we're going to be going over the stats and abilities and not making the mistake of reading through the entire combat trees. Instead, I've got this handy dandy Google sheet I've made that'll just summarize the things that they do. So hopefully that'll be a lot less dead space for you guys listening. Then we'll talk about their strengths, weaknesses, general strategy with them, and some of the synergies that they have with the other revealed units from AMG. So let's go ahead, jump into it. Sooner, let's go ahead, let's talk about Bo-Katan. I know she's your girl, and so I know you're excited to talk about her.
Yeah, man, my girl Bo-Katan, she is, she's been a lot of fun for me to play so far. Everybody knows her because, you know, of course everybody watched the latest season of The Mandalorian, which she is a big, big part of. So she is at one time leader of the Mandalorians. In game, though, she's very good. She has synergy with all the Mandalorians in the game. And we'll probably go over, we have the Clan Kreese support Mandalorians. But there's also the Mandalorian Super Commanders and Gar Saxon, which she does actually synergize with all of these, even though some of them are kind of on the dark side. But Bo, she's very good. She has the ability that as soon as you activate her, she gets to move a Mandalorian. They get to make a jump action, which is a great power to have. Makes them super mobile and just kind of gives that extra mobility. If you get somebody pushed off a point, you can activate her, push them or jump them right back on. She herself can spin the focus to do a jump action like all the Mandalorians with her jetpack. And then one of the coolest abilities with her is just like a lot of them, she has Mandalorians are stronger together, where if she moves within two of a Mandalorian, she gets to immediately make a focus action. So she gets to add dice to her attack. While that's even better is because she has a second ability called Mandalore Will Survive. And then this states if she makes a focus action, one character in this unit, which is her, may make a dash and heal two. So that right there is really good synergy with the Mandalorians. And then it really goes with my favorite ability that she has, which is Some of Us Serve a Higher Purpose. Any allied Mandalorian character within three gets protection and steadfast. So I love this ability. It makes all the Mandalorians around her and herself harder to kill because they get protection. And then to push them off, it's much more. You have to either use a superpower, I say superpower, a force power to do something like a force push, or you have to hit multiple pushes in your attack to push them off. So really good character. She hits hard. She is good in melee and in range, and she has good Beskar armor. So she has very solid defensive expertise. I'll combine that with the protection. Her 8 health is actually pretty hard to chew through.
Yeah, protection is stupid.
I'm really liking it. Yeah,
yeah, her best card is really good. But also remember that for that higher purpose power, you had to be contesting an active objective.
Yes, good call out. Yeah, you definitely, to get that ability for her or any of the other Mandalorians within 3, they definitely have to be contesting. So, but she's great. I mean, she's mobile. She really synergizes with the other Mandalorians on the board. She, for a secondary, I would say is, you know, about average tankiness, maybe a little more just because of Beskar armor is pretty good. She does only roll 4 defense dice. So on both melee and range, so that's not the best in the world. But again, protection usually helps that.
I mean, you can block 5 on 4 dice. That's pretty good.
Yeah. No, I mean, the defensive expertise is phenomenal. I mean, 1 expertise adds 2 blocks. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, she's real good. I love how, like you said, how mobile she is. I mean, she gets to help other characters be mobile, but like then she can jetpack, or if she makes a focus, she can do a dash and heal 2 damage. Like, she can get pretty far on her turn if she needs to, assuming you might want to just not, or if you like you move and focus, then it's like maybe not as good. Like, you can still move a bunch, but you don't get to attack it without focus. But yeah, she can get all over the place, and the Mandalorians target together, she can focus for free. So never mind.
Yeah, she can get where she wants to go.
Yeah, it's a
and then still shoot you or hit you.
Yeah, she can get across the board. So what you do is you get her card, you activate her, you jump one of the other Mandalorians up in front of her, and then she can make a movement to just in front of them, range 2. She then gets Mandalorians are stronger together. That gives her another dash, so she then can dash from there because that gave her a focus. And then she can pay 1 force to then jetpack to wherever she wants, and she still has an attack after that. So it's like, pretty wild.
There's so much combos that you can like chain together with her. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, so she's a real synergistic character. I think she's a really solid secondary. Obviously, I don't think you want to play her with like clones or droids.
Right.
If you're playing her, you got to be playing some Mandos with them.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a pretty common thing with a lot of the secondaries. But what primaries do you want her to like serve under then?
So I've been running her lately with Ahsoka and Luminara. I've been running most of the Mandos just because, again, they're a little tankier, a little harder to push off. And then Luminara and Ahsoka both have very decent healing capabilities. So I'm playing more of like a control type healing. So, you know, the other night I was playing a certain somebody, and he walked up to my Bo-Katan with Obi-Wan with their 10 dice attack and left her on 1 health left. And then I just activated Luminara, walked up to her, and healed all that damage right off of her in all those conditions. And yeah, when you can do stuff like that, the Mandos stick a lot better.
I'm going to talk about that. That was so mean. I was so sad.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was just too good of an opportunity.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's just real good. The Mandos are good, and they're good at sticking on a point and kind of staying there and make it a little tougher for people to kill them.
Yeah, and I know, Matt, you've been playing her with the baddies, haven't you?
I mean, it's just all about perspective. But yeah, I've been running her usually underneath Asajj, because Asajj doesn't really need the rest of her unit. And that way, Bo, and I usually just still stick the Clan Crees with her. That way they can, you know, be a little troop to like flank, take a flank on a board or whatnot, and still be proactive and keep each other alive because they are stronger together. Or if Bo gets in the center, she can I usually run Mandos with Maul. That way she can help out Gar and the Super Commandos.
Yeah, she definitely can play anywhere. And that's the thing with just the Mandalorians in general. Like they can play with pretty much any primary that doesn't necessarily need like a ton of like synergies with anyone. Like maybe not like Dooku or Grievous who want to have like Separatists or battle droids, but like with Ahsoka, she could get along well with Anakin, Asajj, Maul, any primary that isn't like super focused on synergies, she'll be great serving underneath. Anything else y'all have to say about the wonderful Bo-Katan? What is she bad at, actually? What can she not do well?
I mean, she can die. She only has 8 health, and only, again, 4 defense. So, yeah. Like, if you roll, like, 2 blocks and, like, 2 fails, like, she can take a good amount of damage if somebody is hitting her pretty hard.
Yeah. She has some shoves on her combat tree, but like she doesn't have, like they're all like towards the very end too. Like she might not be the best, like if you want to like get someone off of a point either.
Yeah, I think it takes what, 3 hits? I think
3 hits to get to her first.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but then
yeah,
she has 3 in a row if you can get all 5.
Yes.
She does hit pretty good. Remember, she gets a focus when she's within the Mandos. I mean, the key is like keeping her within the Mandos because it really just ups her output a ton.
Yeah, it does. I can just see it like if she doesn't get like the 3 hits through that she needs or 4 hits through or whatever, then she's doing damage, which is great, but she's not controlling the points, which is maybe, I don't know. Some characters are good at damage. Some guys are good with control, and she's probably like support damage piece.
Yeah, and she actually, funny enough, she actually hits harder in melee than she does in.
I mean, range. Did you see her fighting in The Mandalorian? Like,
it's true. It's true. Yeah, that's true.
She wrecks.
One good thing about her stance, Kurt, is like if you memorize her ranged expertise tree or track, you've got the same thing on melee, so it's a little easier to remember your expertise triggers for her.
Yeah, that is nice. Well, let's go ahead and jump into my boy Captain Rex, Sexy Rexy. The first thing I want to point out with Rex and just in clones in general is as of today we have like the new rules on cover. And clones are all about cover. And so cover, if you want to get cover from terrain, you must have a hunker token, which the clones are all about. So let's go ahead and jump into Captain Rex. He's got 9 stamina, 2 durability. He costs 4 squad points. His first thing is a tactical ability, get a move on soldier. He can choose a character in his own unit or another allied Galactic Republic character. That character may dash and then gain hunker, which you need for cover. So that's awesome. Then he has defensive maneuver like I think every other clone that we've seen. Each character in this unit may dash. If it does, it may gain a hunker token. Then he's got a reactive ability. I'm always first kid, cost 1 force. If this unit's not wounded, after an allied clone trooper supporting unit within range 3 of the unit makes a combat action, this unit may use the ability. One character in this unit may dash. If it does, it may make a 5 dice melee or ranged attack targeting one of the same enemy characters within range and line of sight. So good support piece too if you need him to help maybe take someone out that your supporting clones are working on. Then he also has Bring It On Clankers. After an allied clone trooper unit within range 3 of this unit gains cover, one character in that unit may recover one. Again, just playing into the whole hunker mechanic of the clones. And then, last but not least, Brother in Arms on every clone. While this unit has one or more hunker tokens, characters in this unit have Steadfast, so it takes more than one shove to push them off a point. He's also got decent damage potential. He can do 7 damage across his combat tree. He has 2 early shoves if you need the control. So his 2 of his first 2 blocks on his bottom tree can push people. He can also pin and expose people as well. So all in all, Rex, I think is awesome and is just going to be like, if you're playing clones, I think Rex needs to see the table. He just does so much to help support them.
Yeah, I like Rex as the best clone that we got right now.
For sure. Yeah, no, Sexy Rexy he's awesome. I love him. If you're playing clones, you better be playing him.
Yeah. So we have, I think we've seen 3 different clone supports right now. We've got the 501st, which come with him in the Anakin squad. Then we have the 212th, and this week we saw the clone commandos. So which ones do you think work best with Rex? Like, who are you trying to take with him as far as like the supporting clones go?
I think the ones that push, is that the 501st that do the more push oriented? I'd have to go back to the combat tree. Hold on.
No, it's not I think that's the 212th.
Yeah, they need 3. The 501st need 3.
Yeah, I think the 212th are the more
control. Yeah, 212th have a pin, push, and expose.
I don't know. I mean, I think that you don't really... The 501st versus the 212th is... I mean, I don't
think... It's also 4 versus 3 points.
Like, yeah, it really depends on who your primary is. Honestly. Yeah,
that's definitely, I agree. Because I don't think there's a good, like, I think the 212th and the 501st are interchangeable, if I'm honest. The 501st do more conditions. The 212s probably hit a little harder. So, really just depends.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's, like, a clone supporting unit that I'm like, oh, like, this one is, like, leagues above the rest. They've all been pretty evenly balanced so far. I personally like the 501st so far with Rex, just because I'm playing Anakin a lot, so I have to play the 501st. But if there's like another three cost clones support that comes out later, I might be more inclined to use them. But I love Rex's get a move on soldier to like let another allied Galactic Republic character dash and gain cover, because it works on both primaries and supports. So you can get Anakin getting like an early cover and early movement, who's a great primary for Rex to work under, which makes sense because that's how it is in the shows and the movies.
I like that he can do that as well. It's not just limited to other characters like Pride of Mandalore.
Yeah. Yeah, it does work on Rex too, which getting him extra movement could be nice as well if you need to get him on a point quickly and don't want to spend a force for the defensive maneuver.
Yeah, I mean, Rex is awesome. I mean, Rex has one of the best combat trees, probably the best combat tree of all the secondaries, in my opinion. You have two parts of the tree. One of them is basically doing a bunch of damage, and the other one is just doing a boatload of pushes. So, like, it's such a good combat tree, in my opinion.
He also is rolling the same amount of attack dice on a range and defense, so that helps out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean range and melee?
Yeah, it's range and melee, sorry.
Yeah. 7s on his attacks, 5s on his defense, which is pretty good, especially when you stack some hunker tokens on him and he's rolling 6, 7, 8 defense dice when ranged. Makes him a pretty durable. His defense expertise is not as good as Bo-Katan's, but when you're rolling more dice, I mean, it sort of balances itself out. The other primary I like him under, and this is like, if you're not running this primary with clones, I mean, I feel like you're making a mistake, but Obi-Wan, who lets you keep your hunker tokens for and use them on melee attacks. Very, very synergistic with clones and what they're trying to do.
Makes clones a lot better.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the cover buff in general, like or the cover changes requiring you to have a hunker token for terrain cover. Like, that's a sneaky clone buff as well to make that help. But yeah, like, Obi-Wan makes clones just nuts on defense, like rolling 6 or 7 consistently when they've got hunker tokens.
Yeah, no, I mean, I we'll get into clones later, but no, I mean, I think Rex is fantastic.
If you're running clones, run Rex.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is he can die. Like you said, his defense expertise isn't great, but he does roll 5 dice, so that's good. And like you said, if you can get a hunker token on him, especially with Obi-Wan, he becomes even harder to kill.
Yeah.
It does give him steadfast too, which is always great to have.
Yeah, steadfast is so good for just preventing that control. His I'm always first kid ability, like, that's pretty good too. Like, gives him some extra mobility and lets you get some extra attacks in. You can maybe sneak some more damage through. But I mean, it's a 5 dice attack, so like, that's maybe not always the best. His expertise trees are just like Bo-Katan, the same for his attacks. And it takes him 3 expertise to like start getting like auto crits. So I don't think that's as good as Bo's is, but still decently solid for if you're rolling 7 dice.
He's great.
Yeah. Anything he's bad at, y'all would say.
He has to bring clones.
Rude, sir.
But no, I think he's pretty solid all the way around.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, he's really good. So I mean, if you're running clones, definitely don't leave him behind. But he's not going to offer much to, like, if you're mainly a dark side player, he's not going to offer you much.
Yeah, and he's not the most damage output character, but I mean, like I said, he's got a wonderful combat tree.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's move on to some of the bad guys.
No.
I know bad is a perspective, Matt, but come on. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about Gar Saxon. Matt, if you want to take us through the not-so-sexy Saxon.
I mean, he's still going to shoot you in the head because with that, I've got you on my sights ability. But he has 4 squad points that he costs. He's got 9 stamina, durability 2, so similar to most other primaries we've seen. I think it's the exact same as Rex. Like Bo, he has Pride of Mandalore, so he can make another Mandalorian character jump at the beginning of his activation. He also has Jetpack, just like Bo. He has Mandalorians Stronger Together, just like Bo. Where he changes a little bit is he has innate abilities. I've got you in my sights. So if he makes a focus action, he'll have Sharpshooter 2 if he's making a ranged attack. So it'll be 3 extra attack dice on a ranged attack. And when he makes a ranged attack, targets do not benefit from cover. And with that free focus action, he gains a hunker token as well. When a character in this unit with Pack Hunter, he makes a melee attack targeting an enemy character as engaged with another Mandalorian, he gets to add 2 dice to that attack roll. So he's kind of a, if you need something possibly wounded, he's probably going to do it for you because he's usually rolling more dice than his combat tree is already giving you. Either with range where he's rolling 9 usually, or if you've got your super commandos or another, just another Mando up there, he'll be rolling 9 on melee as well. So, I mean, if you need something dead from a secondary, he's probably going to do it. He's got quite the damage output on his tree. Because Gar can put out, let me look real quick. Max damage he can put out is 9. So that's, he's tied with Kalani on that aspect for your secondaries. He can do some shoves. So he's got a little bit of control as well. So he's got some shoves. He's got a couple conditions with pin and strain. And he also has some extra out of activation movement with during his attacks, because he has a jump in his tree. On his range expertise, he's got dashes. So, or is that more shoves? Yeah, that's more shoves.
More shoves.
Yeah, it's more shoves. So, he's also got the Beskar armor, like the good Beskar armor, like Bo has. So, you know, he can roll 5 blocks on 4 defense dice. Yeah, but overall, he's pretty solid. If you want a range character who can just skirt around and stay away from combat, usually he's gonna just sit there and like pot shot people in the head.
Yeah, where Bo-Katan is the more like, she's like the supporting.
Yeah, she's
like the Mandalorian. Like, she provides a lot of support abilities. Gar Saxon's like, all right, like, I'm gonna take all these buffs and just give them to myself.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'm gonna stay back here and I'll help you from here.
Yeah, just completely like nuke people with the 9 dice ranged attack from range 5
with no cover. Take that, clones.
Yeah, he doesn't like clones very much. Or clones don't like him. I don't think he likes clones. They don't like him.
I don't think he likes anybody very much, honestly.
That's true. He likes himself.
Yeah, he's only out for himself, even in the show and the lore.
Yeah, but he's great. Mandalorian stronger together. Just super cool to see like how they use that focus action to give different characters buffs. Like for him, giving him the focus to give him sharpshooter 3 essentially, or give him 3 extra attacks with the sharpshooter 2, and then give him cover as well, or give him hunker as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, just lining up to take his shot.
Well, he's relatively safe.
Yeah. Well, he's safe. Yeah. He's awesome. I've been more impressed with him, I think, than Bo, but that's because like, I feel like he actively does more and Bo's is a lot more passive.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, they're probably doing like the same amount of effect on the board state, but he's just like, it seems like he's the more dynamic of the two. I don't know. What do you think, Sooner?
Yeah, I love him. I mean, he's certainly more of a killer, more of a damage bot. He's not quite as mobile as Bo is. He's not obviously buffing the rest of your Mandalorians like Bo is. So Bo's kind of your like more all around general that is helping the rest of your team and doing good stuff. Where Gar is like, hold my beer, I'm gonna go shoot somebody in the face. You know, he actually has, it doesn't look at it at first look, but he actually has really good push because his defense expertise, with his rifle, if you just roll 2 expertise, you get an automatic push.
Mm-hmm.
Just in his expertise part. And then 3 hits, he gets a push. So when you're rolling 9 dice, which he usually is, that is, you're likely to get a lot of times you get 3 hits or 2 expertise. So I really like him. I've been playing him with Bo-Katan as my other secondary. I think he's really good. That's about it. He wants to shoot you or hit you really hard in melee, and that's what he does. He's a fighter.
Yeah, that he is. He's got the same defensive expertise with Beskar armor, so like he's still decently survivable if you start rolling some expertise.
Oh yeah, he's not easy to kill. And if you get, remember, he is Mandalorian.
Get to him first.
So he's Mandalorian, so he has the same expertise as Bo. He has one more health than Bo, and if he's within three of her, she gives him protection and steadfast. So he can also benefit from her and make it even harder to kill him.
Yeah, even though he likes to be at range, he's not afraid to get up there too. So
I mean, seven die melee is pretty stinking good.
Well, and if, probably if be nine die, honestly, because of the pack hunter.
If you're with the
that's true.
Orion, yeah,
I haven't had that come up much yet, but
he's basically nine die as long as you can get everything set up, which it's not usually too hard to do.
Yeah, between Pride of Mandalore and his movement from shenanigans. So
what is he? I mean, because he's so good at attacking, like he's got to be maybe not good at something else. Like, is that not good at something else? Basically, just like supporting his fellow Mandalorians. Like, I know he has the Pride of Mandalore ability, but that's kind of about it as far as like buffs that he gives to his fellow Mandalorians.
Yeah, I would say his weakness is he doesn't really do. He's a solo, more solo type character. He doesn't do a ton for the other supports on the board.
Yeah, I think. I mean, looking at.
He benefits from them. He doesn't benefit them.
Yeah. Like looking at the other three secondaries in the core box, like they all have a lot more that they offer to their supporting units. So that's probably like where.
That's a theme for Team Red anyway. So, because I mean, we see that in the primaries. They don't really do much for the rest of their squad. They're all about themselves. So, I mean, it's a theme carried on to Gar, I think.
Yeah, Team Red ain't about that friendly life. Well, cool. I'll go ahead then and jump into Kalani, the super tactical droid. So he is a 10 stamina, 2 durability secondary unit. So in the core box, he is the highest stamina for a secondary unit. So at the start of his activation, he has Roger. Each allied battle droid supporting character within range 4 of this unit may dash. That's not each unit, that's each character.
So good.
So both your B1s, or both your B2s, or both your Magna droids are making a dash. Or if you have 4 of them, they are all dashing and getting that extra movement. Really good. Which makes sense because you'd want something really good for a character who is 5 squad points. Then he has an active ability called Tactical Network. Choose another allied battle droid character within range 4. The chosen character may dash, then may gain a hunker token, remove one condition from itself, or make a 5 dice attack. Again, great support for his fellow battle droids. He also has target, concentrate all firepower. When an allied battle droid character makes an attack, if the targeted character is in range 4 of one or more battle droid characters, the attacking character adds 1 die to its attack rolls. So more buffs for his fellow battle droids. And then he also has complete analysis. When he spends any force to place this unit's order card in reserve, you spend 1 less force. So basically, you have to have a force to do this ability, but if you do it, you basically get it for free, right? Or yeah, maybe not the case. Like if you have 0 force, can you still reserve him?
I don't think so, because it says you have to spend that force, so you had to be able to spend it to get it back.
Okay, that's
how I interpret it.
That's how I understand it as well. As far as his combat tree goes, he offers 9 damage. He can disarm, expose characters. He can reposition himself. And if you go 3 steps into his tree, he gets an active ability, which means you can do his tactical network attack or his tactical network ability for free. So definitely do his attack before you use the tactical network ability. Because then you can't use it again if you hit it in the tree.
Yeah, might save you a force.
Save you a force. The interesting thing about him is he is the only secondary in the core box that only has one shove in his tree. So he is not great with control.
He actually has two. If you he get has all two. The way.
Second oh, he spot. He does have two. Last
I don't know how to count.
But you got to get all the way to five.
Yeah. His, all the way to the end of the tree.
Yeah, and his expertise are not good. It's his one of his big weaknesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, his expertise are not good. So, like, it'll be hard for you to get down to five. Maybe that's why I only said he had one.
I don't think it's that hard. I mean, he's going to be usually rolling eight dice at range. Because he is also a battle droid, so his target, concentrate, all firepower is going to work on him.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think I'll make it to five all that often, but I definitely miscounted when I was making this spreadsheet. But then again, I was rushing through to do it while I was in like a meeting. So
we won't tell your boss. We won't tell him.
I mean, it was not a very important meeting. It was like some fluff, like training stuff that I had to do. You know, like electrical safety when I'm working from home.
Don't stick a fork in your outlet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Kalani is awesome. And I'm excited, like, now that we have seen more battle droids, or now that we're going to see more battle droids, we haven't seen
B2s. I want B2s.
Kraken or the B2s yet. Like, I want to see them so bad. But, like, just knowing that more is coming for them, like, makes me a lot more excited. Like, Grievous is going to be great with him.
You know, when you was reading Roger, it didn't clue on to me that if I'm range fourth beginning of the game and I have like Magna Guards in the other squad, I can make them all move. I didn't think that.
Yeah, you deploy these guys all close together and like you're going to have four characters getting extra movement at the beginning of their turn. I wonder if Kraken will do the same thing. That would be nuts.
Oh, that'd be bonkers.
Yeah, like I'm excited for droids. Like the more I think about them, like initially, like I was like, these are kind of like the least impressive out of like the first wave releases. But that's because, I mean, we had the B1s and Magna Guards and we didn't see like Grievous or anything yet, but like seeing Grievous and knowing that the B2s are coming, like I'm more excited to put droids on the table.
Have you played any with you've only played clones, right?
I've only played clones so far. Limited time to do some playtesting.
I mean, you say Anakin slaps. Kalani almost slaps as hard. So,
yeah.
I would not overlook them.
That's entirely fair. He can do, what, 9 damage?
Potentially? 9 damage. Well, I mean, also in his activation, you're usually getting another 6 dice attack from one of your other battle droids. So...
Yeah, very true.
Every turn for one force rather than Anakin's two.
Yeah, he definitely dies very quickly, though.
He's not going to be up there.
he shouldn't be up there.
No, no. But, I mean, luckily he does have some repossession stuff in his tree and in his defense expertise, so he can potentially move away.
Well, but, I mean, yeah. you say he's not going to be up there. I mean, pretty much all your characters have to be up there.
He's probably going to get range 5 away from whatever he's wanting to shoot. And
see, I disagree with that. I think if you're going to have a character who's basically not going to push the middle points, you're going to lose struggle 1. Because there's so much back and forth on those middle points. You need everybody you have to win those points. At least in the games that I've played so far, it's been like that. It's one reason why I think, we'll get this later, that clones struggle a little bit at this early game, because it's mostly a melee game. And I
think... Mostly a melee game so far.
So far, sure. Yeah, they may introduce a lot of different missions and things like that really change that. But yeah, I mean, I think Kalani's great, but I do think that's a weakness, that he is not the toughest character in the world. And I think if you're just hanging him back, I think that's one less body you have to score a VP.
Yeah, and it messes with your target concentrate all firepower ability too, where you do want that one extra attack dice. Because like, yep, the targeted character has to be within range 4 of... no, I guess that works everywhere.
Still pretty far, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also, he can move his other battle droids to go take those spots. He doesn't necessarily have to get up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very thematic.
You don't have to make the attack with tactical network. You can just move your other battle droid again and give him a hunger token. Or heal himself.
I mean, you look at the Clone Wars show, and like, anytime you see a super tactical droid, like, they're sitting in the back, like, commanding everyone around. So, like, he does want to be sitting in the back. It's just, will that be beneficial for you in the game or not?
And I mean, if Dooku's just running the board like he normally does, then yeah, it's fine. You can do that.
Yeah, true. Anything else on Kalani or just the secondaries in general? What are y'all's thoughts on secondary units? Any just general tips?
No, I think they're cool. I think they, I mean,
they're the meat and potatoes of your squads, I think, because you want to build your synergies around them, I think.
Fair.
All right. Also, some of my favorite characters so far. Because Gar, Kalani, Bo, Jango, yeah, they're Rex. I mean, they're all solid.
Yeah, they are. What primaries do we want to run Kalani over under? I think Dooku and Grievous are the obvious ones, but any other ones that you think would
he's good under sell with him? Asajj is really good with him as well, because Asajj doesn't care about if her squad stays around her, but they also can trigger her ability where she, if they shoot the person she's engaged with, she can slip away.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Although I guess Dooku doesn't want Kalani, like in his squad specifically, because Kalani's 5, and that leaves Dooku 2 points to work with, which doesn't exist at the moment. Well, cool. Let's go ahead, jump into some supports. Sooner, why don't you go ahead, take us away with the Clan Kree's Mandalorians.
Yeah, so the Clan Kree's are, they're similar to Bo. They have 3 abilities. One is a jetpack ability, which I think so far all Mandalorians have. If they're Mandalorian, they have it. So they have that ability. They have the Mandalorians are stronger together, where if they move within 2, they get to do a focus action. And why that's important is because these characters have sharpshooter 1. So if you move within 2 of a Mandalorian with one of the units, you get to effectively add 2 dice to their attack roll on range, which is very big. So that's very important. It's good to know they do proc it off of each other. So if one of them moves and the other one moves within 2 of that one, it procs. So those are their abilities. They have 7 health, which is, I don't think, the highest in the world. It's actually the lowest, I think, of the secondaries. But
the
supporters.
The clone commandos have the 6.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But
I think 7's average for supports.
In the core box, it's the lowest one.
Yes.
But I think one of the reasons they only give them 7 is because they kind of factor in protection with Bo. So
that's true.
They also roll 5 dice in ranged attacks. Their Beskar armor is not as good as Bo's or Gar's, but they do have Beskar armor, where 2+ gives 2 blocks, so that's decent. They have a good combat tree. Their first 2, you can go on a path where their first 2 hits are pushes. So they are pushing and pushing and pushing, which is a really good trait to have on a supporting unit, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And they hit hard. I mean, if you can get them to do the focus action with sharpshooter, they're rolling 8 dice. So they got a lot of rolls there.
Yeah, they can. I mean, if they get 4 spots down their tree, they can push 3 times.
Yeah, they don't do a whole lot of damage. In fact, they are one of the lower damaging supports. But like I said, their control is phenomenal.
Yeah, they're good. Very synergistic second or supports for what you'd want with Bo-Katan and Gar Saxon. Like they do a good job.
Yeah, and they don't want to be in melee, just FYI. We'll talk about the Mandalorian super commandos. They do want to be in melee. The Clan Kree's Mandalorians, they're the opposite. They do not want to be in melee. They want to be shooting you and pushing you. Sometimes you may even have to, like, if they're engaged, you may have to do the jetpack out of melee. This is a good little trick. Jetpack out of melee, shoot them, then move back onto the point, and then you get to do ranged attacks instead of melee attacks.
Yeah.
So it's a good trick to keep in mind.
Sooner here with the
big brain plays.
Good game plays.
If y'all want a next level, you could have just, you know, let me do the podcast and, you know, we could have taken it up.
We'll get you on more, man.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But they're a lot of fun. They're good. I think they're real solid. Not a whole lot to talk about other than that. They like to be around Bo-Katan. That's about it. And they like to be contesting.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. Supports are pretty simple to go over. Not a whole lot they typically offer. Speaking of offering a lot for support, let's talk about the 501st Clone Troopers, who also don't offer a lot.
Well, 3 points.
Yeah, these guys are one of the 2 3-point supporting units we have so far. They have 7 stamina, 2 durability. Their abilities, like every other clone, they have defensive maneuver for 1 force. Each character in this unit may dash. If it does, gains a hunger token. Now, the other thing that clone supports offer that's really cool is coordinated fire. So each clone support so far does this. When a character in another allied Galactic Republic unit makes an attack as part of a combat action before dice are rolled, this unit may use this ability. If the targeted character is within range 5 of a character in this unit, the target unit gains strain. Now, the 501st are the only one that do strain. The 212th, I think, do pinned, and the commandos just do a damage. But still, it's a way to get extra conditions on your opponent and can potentially put those conditions on before the character goes through their combat tree and can do an extra damage if they happen to redo that condition. The other thing that they have is a brother in arms, like every other clone. If they have a hunker token, they gain steadfast, so makes it harder to push them off points. These guys, their expertise, to put it lightly, sucks. It does not do very much on melee or ranged. Their expertise on defense is maybe at least decent. But still not great. These guys want to attack from range. They are 7 die ranged attackers, 5 die melee. And they have, I mean, their combat tree, they offer 5 damage tops if you go all 5 spots. But they have decent conditions. They do pinned and strained in their tree. They have 1 shove and can potentially heal as well. So these guys are good at sitting on points. And again, if you have Obi-Wan, those hunker tokens will be a lot more valuable for keeping them there and just giving them steadfast.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, they're 3 points. They're 2 bodies that you can get on points. They certainly have a lot of weaknesses. They don't do a lot of damage. They don't survive all that long. And if you can, like you said, I mean, the big thing is if you can keep them at range, they're much more survivable and they do a lot more damage. Once you get them in melee, they are garbage.
I think their biggest thing to me is the coordinated fire. So as long as you can keep them range 5 of a target that one of your other people's attacking, they're just going to hand out a free strain.
Yeah, and that's good. Strain is really, it's a good thing to put on something. One of their big weaknesses is, please, when you're playing clone troopers, look where your ingress points are, because their lack of mobility can really, really be bad. They have no way to climb, scale, or jump. So, you know, sometimes that can be difficult to do.
You can climb, it's just in a move action, but
sure. But I mean, then you're
spending a move action to climb.
Yeah, most things in this game want to do their medium movement and then jump up on the support or something like that. They can't do that. Now they do have defensive maneuver to get them closer, so maybe they can climb. But it's certainly less mobile when you're playing in the game.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the Mandalorians, their movement is very sad, even with defensive maneuver.
It's okay. They get a free hunker token.
The free hunker token is pretty sweet. Well, no, it's not free because it costs a force.
Yeah, it costs a force.
It's extra. You're buying the dash to get the hunker token free.
The biggest problem that, again, I go back to this, I feel like this is a melee game, at least right now. And clones are 1,000% a range unit. They want to be a super range unit. So I think that at this point right now in the game, it kind of contradicts itself a little bit. And that's, I think, their biggest weakness. But I think if some missions and things come out that are more range centric, I think clones will be great.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Matt, why don't you take us through the bad guys?
All right, the B1 battle droids. They're 3 squad points as well, just like the 501st. They only got 9 stamina, so it's a little... it's not too bad. It's average, but it's not great. They have 2 durability. They have a couple abilities. They got combat AI protocols. So after an allied battle droid unit makes a combat action, choose one of the targeted characters within range 4 of all characters in this unit. If able, then the chosen character gains strain or expose. They have an ability which, well, I guess I'm in charge now. When this order cards will be placed in reserve, instead of putting in a reserve spot, you can actually put it on the bottom of your order deck to kind of plan out where you're going to be rather than just and keeping your reserve slot open. Their last one is, I hate this job. So while they're contesting at one or more active objectives, they gain protection. That's actually pretty huge for them because they are not great when it comes to defending stuff. They're pretty good when it comes to shooting things, though, because they can pass out 9 damage on their tree. So on whichever path you choose. They also can have a little bit of reposition. They can pass out strain or expose again and they can shove you, but that's high up the tree. Their expertise is not great either. Their defense expertise really stinks because you have to have at least 2 expertise just to get 1. Overall, they're going to... They got some neat tricks where you can like help plan out your turn better or your order deck better. They kind of got similar thing to the clones where they can pass out strain or expose. But Kalani is usually making them roll 8 dice attacks at range. So they can pass out the hurt too.
Yeah. These guys,
as long as they're not melee.
These guys are not mobile. If they didn't have Kalani, they would be stuck in the back of in the middle of nowhere doing nothing or not scoring like the midpoints. Kalani helps them a lot.
Yeah, a ton.
Although like them having protection is pretty sweet.
Yeah, but they're still going to die to most attacks, though, because, you know, like Sooner said, if they're up contesting points, it's going to be a melee attack normally, and they're like rolling three dice.
They're kind of the equivalent to clones, right? Like, they hit hard on melee, but they hit hard in ranged attacks, but if they're anywhere close to melee, they're...
Well, clones are going to be a little more survival if you're running Obi, because they can keep their hunker tokens to count. Yep. Droids aren't usually having the hunker token.
No, which is thematic, right? Like, you think of all the...
Because they're walking in blindly just to, you know, get shot and die.
Roger.
Exactly. And does not compute. Think of the Jedi's kill about 100 of them in, like, one strike. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty thematic. But, yeah, they lack mobility. They don't want to be in melee, but they can shoot you.
It still probably takes two attacks to kill these guys. I mean, they have 9 health with potential protection.
They're not bad, especially to range. I mean,
yeah.
And you also get three of them on a base.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. They seem fun. Excited to see how they might work with, like, B2s as well. Like, I don't think there would be, like, any specific... No, combat AI protocols would work with the B2.
Yeah,
so.
Allied battle droid unit, so it can work with any other battle droid.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be fun to see them on the table. I'm excited to use, like, a droid voice whenever things are happening. Like, I hate this job.
I do it usually for, well, I guess I'm in charge now.
They'll be the fun characters to voice on the table, like Goblin and MCP. Make it a lot more fun and feel like Star Wars. Well, cool. Let's go ahead and hit the Mandalorian Super Commandos then.
You probably got more games in with them, so yeah, you can talk about them.
Okay. I didn't know, just because Matt just went, and I didn't know if he was winded or not.
No, you're good.
Yeah, we can go over them, because, I mean, a lot of it's redundant. So there's the Super Commandos. Yeah, they're pretty similar. Yeah, they got the jetpack like the other Mandos. They have the Mandalorians are stronger together. Now, there's each one of them have a different ability. It's called Mandalorians are stronger together, but each one of them have a different effect, I should say. What theirs does is it immediately lets them make a focus action, which is the reason why this is good is because they have Impact 1, which is the equivalent of Sharpshooter, except for melee. So that adds right there, that adds 2 extra dice to their melee attack. Like we said earlier, as opposed to the Clan Krees, these guys are actually better in melee. They want to get up and hit you. So they are usually rolling 8 dice if you can get that focus action and that impact, which is real good. They also have an ability called No Mercy, wherein if they are engaged with the enemy character and that character moves out of engagement, they take 2 damage. So that's again, another reason why they want to be up and they want to be engaged. They also have better defense in melee. They have 5 dice as opposed to 4 dice in range. And these guys, I think these guys, we talk about weaknesses. These guys' big weakness is they are not much of a control unit. They are more of a damage unit. You know, we talked about Gar, who is usually the commander of these guys. He's a real good in damage. Gar kind of gets around with his pushes because of his expertise. These guys don't have that. So you have to do 4 hits or get 4 through to even do a push. Or you have to do 3 expertise in melee to get a push. So they're basically a melee unit who hits hard and can put out a lot of conditions. And that's really the bulk of it. Matt, you got anything you want to add?
Well, they're also a unit that's kind of like a tar pit unit, because if somebody gets engaged with them, you're really going to think about moving away from them, because that 2 damage could potentially injure activation if you're only got 2 damage left and you forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, a real good, if you're a real, that's a good point. A real good play to do is if you notice like a Jedi or a primary only has two health left, just move one of these guys in melee with them, and they're basically stuck with them because if they disengage, they die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and these, I think this set of Mandos, I don't think you necessarily have to keep together as much as you kind of want to keep the other ones together, because they can, you know, tar pit two objectives in the center, keep two people there that need to try to move away to other points too.
Yeah, I agree. I will say it doesn't specify jump in
Yeah,
No
you can still
Mercy.
jump
So
out of there,
yeah, you
but
can
that's
jump
causing them
out.
to spend other resources to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And you can dictate where they can jump. So let's say that specific thing comes up. If you just put them at max range two of the way you don't want them to go, they have to jump backwards. They can't jump forward very well because then they'll still be in range.
Well, I think when you're moving out of engagement, you have to basically dash anyway. So, unless you're using like jetpack to jump out of range.
Yeah, I think you can jump out. So like a Jedi could use a jump superpower,
Yeah,
but
you can use
yeah,
that stuff, but
if they don't have
normal moving
a
away, yeah, I think you have
absolutely, if
to.
they don't have a special jump, then yeah, they can't do it.
Yeah, Luminara is stuck.
Luminara, Ahsoka's stuck too.
Oh yeah, she doesn't have a jump either. Yeah, they're super damage, not good at control. I don't know.
Well, they're
Supports
not
are.
controlling where you're going. It's just controlling keeping you there.
They don't
That's their
push you off the point.
their version of control. They're
Yeah, you're
making
staying
you.
with me.
Yeah.
Bear hug.
They're the Ursas of this game.
Yeah, one thing like I've noticed about most of the supports except the B1s, at least in the core box, is like they all have the like an extra like movement, like jetpacks for the Mandalorians, or the clones have their dash to get a hunger token. One thing I've liked with supports is like when you do spend that force, you get a little more impact out of it because you're moving two of your characters instead of just one in other places. So like I like round one, or not in round one, struggle one, like using my force more on like those movement abilities for my secondaries to try and get them into play a little more because it's just more bodies for the points to score. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, movement's key in this game, I think, because it, I mean, as much as fun as it is to attack, I think you need to spend more focus on which objectives you're trying to take over and which ones you can take over easily. So movement's king.
Yeah, I just like the ability to move two characters with one force instead of everywhere else where it's like one character, one force, even though those characters might be a little more impactful in attacks. But
You're probably doing it more around struggle one anyway, because these usually most of the supporting characters are going to get wounded kind of early, especially if you're sticking them out to grab points in struggle one.
yeah.
So that jetpack or the dash is going to end up costing you two to three.
Yeah, later it's not
Yeah.
great. Well, cool. That wraps up our discussion on secondaries and supports. Let's go ahead and jump over to our listener questions. But first, a word from our sponsors.
This podcast would absolutely not be possible if it wasn't for our sponsors, our friends at Tritext Games and GameChefs.org. If you're looking to buy some sweet, sweet tabletop fun in the U.S., head over to GameChefs.org and use the promo code GamersGuild for 15% off. And if you're in the EU, head over to Tritext Games and get 5% off their already deeply discounted goodies using the code TRITEXGGCP5. And if you have a local game store, keep supporting them. We are all for that. You can help support the podcast by joining the Gamers Guild Patreon for as little as $1 a month, or wait for it, $12 a year. That's right, I can do math. Also, join us on our Discord and be a part of the Gamers Guild discussion for all things fun.
All right. So we asked in our Discord earlier today to just give us questions in regards to supports and primaries, or not supports and primaries, supports and secondaries, and got a decent bit, got some stuff on the new rules and event packets as well. So we might get to those if we've got time. If not, we'll just save them for a future episode. But our first questions come from our buddy Shadow Marvel, Matthew. He's an all right guy. what do you look for in a secondary or support unit to provide? Sooner, let's go with you first.
I think it just depends on, you know, what you're going for. I think in Shatterpoint, more than anything, you want to really look at synergy in your two strike teams. So I think you just want a secondary or support units that synergize with each other, and if they can, the primaries. So my answer to this is pretty simple. Synergy. That's what I want them to provide. Synergy with the rest of the list.
Fair enough. Matt, what about you?
Well, Sooner just took the words out of my mouth, but yeah, synergy
does that.
Is very key whenever I think when you're looking at your secondaries in sports. They don't have to necessarily be synergy throughout the whole list. I mean, you can do like each squad be synergizing with itself is also pretty good, because it depends on how you're just going to control the map. But if you're wanting it to be a little easier on yourself, synergy throughout the whole list is better. But
yeah,
I gotta look at point cost, because you don't really want to play a point down if you're trying to mix and match from what we have available right now. So that's another thing to be a little worried about if you're mixing and matching right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think generally, like, where you want the most synergy is between secondaries and supports. Like, any primary synergy you can get is just icing on the cake, but secondaries and supports are where you're going to really see a lot more of those synergies, I think, shine, in my opinion. Just because, I mean, they more so like are designed to work together, whereas a lot of the primaries we've seen, like, some of them just like to work alone, like Asajj and Maul, and maybe you could argue Anakin as well. Next question, also from Shadow Marvel, and Quincy sort of asked the same question in a different way, but are you worried that core secondaries and supports will get phased out over time as releases grow, and it feels like inserting, like, maybe, for instance, the best four cost clone available? Do you see, like, those phasing characters out, or the best four cost Mandalorian, or best three cost droid or clone? Are y'all worried about that at all?
I don't think so. Because, I mean, over time, I mean, certain ones you might see more often, but, like, just to equivalent to MCP a little bit, like, there's still most of the core set minis are still played. Not all of them are, but most of them are. And, like, so Kalani's really good. I mean, you're going to have to take B1s with them normally because of the point cost. Bo, I think, will always see play. So, I mean, I think you'll see the majority of them for a while.
Well, I'm glad you had me on, because I couldn't disagree more.
All right.
No, I think so. Here's the big difference between MCP. MCP, you play, you know, you can play three threat characters. I'm going to equivalent these, you know, a supporting unit is like a three threat character, basically. And you only get two of them in your list. So once they have released 10 of those characters, you're just going to play the best ones. I mean, people aren't going to be like, well, the, you know, 701st means more to me than the 501st clone, so I'm going to play the 701st clone. Like, you're just going to pick the one that's better. So, yeah, I absolutely think that's going to start to push things out. I think it's more narrow in the sense than other games like MCP. I mean, do I think that's necessarily a bad thing? I can't really say I think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I absolutely think you're going to see things get pushed out in certain areas, because it's just much more, the scope is just much more narrow than like other games. I know I use MCP a lot because that's my main game, but it's much more narrow than MCP, and so you're going to play the best things. Like, to give an equivalent, if you said, all right, you're going to play Avengers, but you can only play 1-3 threat the whole time, well, Luke Cage is probably going to get played like a million times. So I do think that is going to happen in this game.
I agree and disagree. I think it might depend on what game mode you're playing, because with the new events packets, like we saw the showdown premier showdown, where you can have four squads and then choose two for your strike team, like you might end up like being able to have more utility there across your, I guess let's call it like strike squads versus your strike team. So that might help too. But if you're just going into event like playing the normal like two strike team, like I can definitely see that being the case. But as of right now, like I'd say the game is balanced fairly well as far as like power level of secondaries, primaries, supports, to where like everything feels like it has a use, and maybe more missions will make other characters more useful than others later. But as for now, like I think everything's useful. I think everything, some things might be a little more niche useful, like eventually we'll get to like the 212th clones, and those are going to be, I think, a little more niche than the 501st or the clone commandos. But I think they still have some decent use in certain areas where you might would want to play them over the other clone units.
Yeah, well, I think there's two caveats to this, right? So number one, how many clones are they going to make? Right? Like how many clone supporting units are they going to make? Because yeah, you have four spots in the tournament setup. So yeah, if they make six clones, then sure, you're going to probably see a lot of rotation in there in different ones. But if they make like 12 clones, you're going to see like the same five probably in those four sets. And then the second part of that, when I was talking about caveats, is this question is not a right now question. This game just released. Like, you don't have a whole lot of options to choose right now. So, I mean, of course, you know, if you want to play clones right now, you only have two options. So, there's not a whole lot of options. When there becomes more options, I think that's when you're going to see the cream of the crop rise, and that's generally what's going to get picked.
To answer your question about how many clones they might have planned, there's probably already 20,000 ready with a million more on the way.
Yeah, so you're going to get a lot of clones drowned out, in my opinion. I could be completely wrong, but I do see that happening, personally.
I love me some clones. Let's see. Speaking of clones, Thoris of the Rules Forum asked, do you always want to run your clone supports to the middle of the board to take advantage of friendly fire? I think yes, personally. I think you want to get them in the action, get the friendly fires out, to get those extra statuses out. Even though they're ranged characters, I don't know. That's just my thought.
I mean, I think you want them out early, not necessarily for the coordinated fire, but maybe just to start holding those points down.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally, I kind of talked about this earlier, I think generally you want your support units to take one of the middle points, so you now have two bodies on that middle point. So, yeah, I mean, I think any support units, you want to kind of get up the board.
Yeah, and then our last question for the topic is, what are you looking for most out of your secondary units when you're building your strike team? Is it A, synergy with the primary, B, synergy with the support, or C, just pure raw power and autonomy?
I'm going to go with D, all of the above.
If you had to pick one, I would say B. You want synergy with your supports.
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think synergy with supports is the most important for secondaries if you're just choosing one. But like Sooner said, if you can get all three, that's amazing.
Yes.
And last question, just for fun, from our buddy Jimmy DeHand, Justin. What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
I'm a cookies and cream or a actually, no, my favorite is cookie dough. Love me some cookie dough ice cream. Although I don't eat ice cream very much, but
that's right. Fine. Yeah, to not match Sooner, I will say mint chocolate chip.
And Sooner backed away from the best flavor, cookies and cream.
Nah, shame on you. No, nah, cookie dough's better.
Yeah, or the cookie dough set where you get both. It's rich, but it's good. Well, cool. Thanks for joining me, guys. Hopefully everyone listening enjoyed our discussion on secondaries and supports. If you want to talk to us more about the game or just have questions for us or other thoughts on what we said, anything to add, feel free to join us in our Discord. I will leave it in the show notes. And until next time, keep on gaming.